Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Right now, we have a very special guest. He's joining us in the Smart Choice Windows & More studio. Don't shake your head. You're too humble. Larry Schmitz is joining us. He is the Browns 2024 Fan of the Year. He's in the running for the NFL Ultimate Fan of the Year. Larry, good morning to you.
Morning.
You are wonderful. This is already a lot of fun to talk to you. He's so nice. I had to run outside real quick, which the machine said fail. So, you know, that's nice. Oh, and you might want to check that. But I ran outside. I was like, Larry, it's very nice to meet you. I have to go outside. Very wonderful man. It's wonderful to have you in our studios with us, Larry. Thank you.
Could we start with, I have to say hi to my people that sit with me.
Please. Absolutely. Yes.
Katie, Kevin, Bob, Nikki, my daughter, Lori. I think that's all.
And what section?
We're in 319.
You're in 319. What's the standing policy over there? Does anybody get yelled at for standing?
Well, a lot of people don't stand, so you know we don't have that problem. But it used to be that people would complain, and we used to have security 5, 6, 7 years ago when they were actual people there that would come up and they'd congregate right in front of us, so we got to know them pretty good. I stood up for a couple minutes one game, and the guy behind me, 4 or 5 rows back, fussed, and the security guy looked at him and said, hey, sit down and be quiet. He's enjoying the game. So it was nice that we didn't have to be hassled by that.
So what got you, Larry, into being a Browns fan, first and foremost here? Let's go through your history.
I love football. Always have. Played it when I was a little kid. We, you know, used to go over to the local Ohio Bell building. On the side of their building, they had a strip of grass, so we'd go over there and play football.
Mm-hmm.
And then, my little brother and I started going to a couple games, and then we decided, hey, let's get some season tickets.
Are you from here?
Yes, I'm born and raised Lakewood. I grew up in Lakewood and then moved to Cleveland.
Awesome. So you've been a season ticket holder since 1985. So this is right after you got out of the Marines?
I got out in 75.
Oh, okay. So, well, you're older than you look. I didn't realize that, Larry. You're a young-looking man.
I'm practicing for Santa.
So you've been a the beard looks excellent. You've been a season ticket holder since 1985.
Right.
And you've been to every home game.
Most home games.
Most home
Every
games.
Once in a while, somebody will say, hey, can I take a friend? So I go, yeah, sure, go ahead.
What is the, now you told a story, I hate to tell it, but I'm going to bring it up on the air. You had a story, you gave away tickets to the drive, and then you decided that you wanted to go to the game, you picked up tickets and went anyway.
Right.
Okay, so take us through that moment.
Well,
as best you can.
I can't tell you why I gave up the tickets, probably because they were too expensive at the time. I went down and got a ticket downtown at the old stadium, and I was sitting at the opposite end of the field, the close end of the field, where the no field goal was. And
he still remembers that Carlos kick.
I'll never forget it. The kick was up and went to the left of, if you're looking from the field, to the left of the goalpost, and I'm watching, and I'm starting to cheer because it's like 6-8 inches away. And all of a sudden, I look down, and the referee underneath the goalpost looks over at his buddy on the left, and he throws his hands up, so the other guy throws his hands up. It wasn't even close.
So there were a lot of people in the stadium that were upset with the call, because I assumed everybody went home, and because I was a baby.
You could hear a pin drop after that call. Everybody, I was the only one cheering, and I couldn't figure out why nobody else was.
No.
Everybody was up and ready to go, and all of a sudden the call, silence, dead silence.
Larry, was it rigged? We were just talking about whether or not the league is rigged. Was it rigged back then in the 80s?
Well, at that particular moment, I would have said yes, because there's no way. How do you miss that? You're standing right underneath the goalpost.
So the reason we were talking about it off the air is because I was telling them how much the Ohio State Notre Dame tickets were, and then it got... Ken and I were talking over the phone, what would an AFC championship cost in Cleveland? We can't even, I mean, it's hard to even fathom hosting a playoff game. It's been so long. But to be able to host an AFC championship game, Like, what would those tickets go for? And then I thought, you know what? No one would sell them. People would just stay because when are you going to get that opportunity again? You don't know.
Unfortunately, there are people that will sell them because they know they can make a lot of money on them. You know, if they buy them for $200 or $1,000, they'll try to get rid of them for a grand or three, four, five grand. And people buy them.
Now, you talked about having the season tickets for as long as you have. And we were wondering how close we have fans tell us every day. And we think they're liars, most of them. But you get upset, you get over emotional when Browns lose these games and the seasons, they fall flat. And you're wondering, are they making the right decisions? Do I agree with ownership on this? Do I agree with the front office? Do I even like the head coach? And then what do? They come back the next year. And you've done that every year. You've come back the next year every time. But you've had those internal debates.
Constantly. The 80s and 90s, the Cardiac Kids era was truly Cardiac Kids.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend of mine that had a souvenir stand in the old stadium, and I used to go down and help him work it. And then I'd get to go up, and I'd watch some of the game and come back down when they got busy. You wouldn't believe how many golf carts with people in the back of them having panic attacks or heart attacks or whatever truly were being hauled off. It's unbelievable. It is such an emotional high, and then to get dumped on because, you know, oops, threw the wrong pass. Red right 88.
Yeah.
I had just gone up there. The 50-yard line is where our stand was, and I'm watching the play develop, and I'm thinking to myself, don't throw the ball. Nobody's open. And all of a sudden he threw the ball. It's like, no. And there it was, interception Oakland.
Do you see it more? Larry Schmidt's joining us. He's the Browns fan of the year for 2024. Do you see it more maybe like a hobby, a tradition going to the games? How do you see going to the games? Because there's been years they've been good and have given us some hope. There's been some lean years as well. Do you almost see it in that way? That it's like, hey, you know, like there's other people who do things with their money, and this is what I do.
It's the Browns. Yeah. I don't drink, don't smoke, don't gamble. It's the Browns.
This is your
fun. It's in my blood. You know, yeah. I gotta go.
So how many times have you sit in 319?
Right.
Have you moved sections often over the last 25 years? I mean, you've been since 85, and I'm talking new stadium, I should say.
When we were in the old stadium, we were halfway up the bleachers, just to the inside of the north goalpost. They put us now, when we moved, they assigned us seats. We're just south of the numbers on the south side of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't like them at first, but they grew on me. You can watch everything just open up and develop. It's really fantastic.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But Larry, when you hear young guys like me sit there and talk about how great it would be to be in a dome, wear a T-shirt to a game in December, and, you know, talk about the lap of luxury that it would be, when you hear guys like me saying that, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking you're a wuss. I walked out today, and it's like, yeah, this is football weather. Why aren't they playing now?
It's 17 below when I got my truck this morning.
Oh, that's a wind chill. It's like only 3 degrees or 3 below.
Were you at the Saints game a few years ago?
I'm at most games. When it's cold, I don't care. My daughter, my youngest daughter, Katie, come on, Dad, let's go. She's as bad as I am, if not worse.
Hardened. Damn.
You have 5 children, 11 grandchildren, correct?
Yep.
And they've all been, I don't know how young the grandchildren are. Have most of them been to games with you, all the family?
The youngest grandson he'll be 5 in March. He's been to a couple games.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I think he went to the first game. His mom took him there when he was 2.
Who's your favorite Brown ever?
It's got to be Jim Brown.
Really?
Yeah.
Modern era, who's your favorite Cleveland Brown?
Modern era? Chubb.
Nick Chubb. Well, yeah, you got a 24 jersey.
No, that's because of this.
Well, I thought maybe just because it was a year, and then you said Chubb. So I was like, well, did he pick 24? All kind of coincides.
No, because it's Chubb. I think he's just an awesome running back.
He's fantastic.
A great ball player, and never met him, but he seems to be just a great guy.
He's a humble guy. He'd like you more than he likes us. He does not like media. So he would get along with you more than he would get along with us.
Yeah, I believe it.
And he's one of the few guys that don't care for media, and everybody respects him because it's Nick Chubb. Let me tell the website, clevelandbrowns.com/fan of the year. Larry is a delight. You can vote for Larry. Click on that link. Says vote now. Go on over to the NFL website. They got a whole bunch of fans. Pick Larry.
Often.
Yeah, pick Larry often. You can vote more than once. He would be the ultimate fan of the year in the NFL, so make sure you go ahead and you do that.
Yeah, can you you got to try to help people understand. Yeah, so we have some younger listeners. What Municipal Stadium was like when that place was rocking?
It was amazing. You had more people because it was a larger stadium. But once you got going, it's hard to explain. If you've never been to a large stadium where a team is winning and the fans are going nuts, even when there's nothing going on, you couldn't understand.
Well, I talked to an older media member once. This is like years ago, and he's like, I went to a couple when I was very, very little, and it was tail end, preseason. I wouldn't have got it. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have got the experience. He goes, you have no idea. They used to go in, and we just assumed we were going to win. And if they didn't win, it was this massive disappointment. He goes, you only hope they win. It was an expectation then. And I go, it's kind of true.
Absolutely.
It's kind of true there. And I think that that's part of the reason. Like, everybody, whoever was in the old stadium, they miss the old stadium. And I think it's even more of, I think we miss the memories that are associated with the old stadium.
I agree. Even if you had to sit behind a pole, you could always look around a pole and, you know. That's one of the big things they wanted to get rid of in the new stadium. But even if you had to sit behind the pole, you couldn't. It's hard to explain the atmosphere. The fan was a fan. The next guy next to you was your brother, sister. You know, it didn't matter. We didn't throw things at each other.
You didn't throw dog bones at Elway?
No.
Can you? He doesn't have to. Well, you can admit to it now.
Batteries?
That day I used to drive a school bus. That day I was on a bus run. I gave my kids a ticket, said. And then when I was sitting down behind Tower City, and I called them and I said, it better not be you guys. Tickets are in my name. I'll get the letter.
I know we're getting close. I still want to ask you more questions. I have to. Larry, can you take us through, were you at the last game in 95?
No.
You didn't go?
No.
Why did you decide not to go?
I don't remember. It's too far long ago.
Too far long ago? Because there was like the famous video was like of the guy who brought in a hacksaw. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing was to cut his seat. I'm sure he cut other people's seats out, too, because he was able to sneak the hacksaw in.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, that's he's thick iron. I don't know how much he was able to get out of there.
He didn't sneak it in.
Well,
they were letting anything go down.
Because it was such a surreal day, and I didn't know if you would win down there. So you did not go to game.
I missed that game. I can't remember why. I was probably working.
But here since 99, you've been to all these games, and you've seen all this. You've seen the good, you've seen the bad, you've seen the ugly, and you've been there throughout it all.
Yep.
You are an absolute treasure. Thank you so much for coming in. Folks, you got to vote for Larry. ClevelandBrowns.com/fans/fan of the year. That's ClevelandBrowns.com/fan/fan of the year. He's got himself a jacket over there. They got him a lot of other things for being the Browns fan of the year. Now you got to make him the ultimate NFL fan of the year. Go to that website, ClevelandBrowns.com/fans/fan of the year. It takes you to the link. Vote for Larry now. Vote for Larry often. Larry, thank you so much for the time.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Larry Schmitz, Browns fan of the year. That's so wonderful to see him in studio with us. Big congratulations to CC Sabathia. By the way, Larry gave us a hell of a topic for someday. It involves two Browns quarterbacks, and it happened organically and out of nowhere. Go vote for Larry Schmitz. ClevelandBrowns.com/fan/fan of the year. It was wonderful to run into Larry, talk to Larry, and get a story about being a Browns fan here. CC Sabathia is in the Hall of Fame, and it hit me like a ton of bricks yesterday. In the words of Paul Dolan, you better enjoy him. You better enjoy Jose Ramirez, because CC Sabathia is going in as a Yankee, and I just realized, here I go, when's our next Cleveland Guardian slash Indian slash anything going into the Hall of Fame as a Guardian or Indian? It's going to be Jose, and that's it. Tom Hamilton counts this year. Tom Hamilton himself would tell you, obviously, not a player's wing, but you could go to Cooperstown to see Tom Hamilton and use it as a trip. You could. I wouldn't begrudge anybody for that. And then the next one's Jose Ramirez, and then that's it. Nothing has done more to kill its own sport than Major League Baseball. Because I look around. What young star, and I thought about this since I said it at the beginning of the show, Bobby Witt, it's still too early to say that he's going to be a Hall of Famer, clearly. If he were to become a Hall of Famer, his contract is so long, he would go in as a Royal. Okay? I would assume. But other than that, they're all becoming Dodgers. They're all becoming Yankees. They're all becoming Mets. Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens has people talking about baseball again in the city of Pittsburgh. Hasn't been done in years since Andrew McCutchen. Paul Skeen's going to go into the Hall of Fame. If he goes into the Hall of Fame, if he continues on this trajectory, surefire Hall of Famer. Will Paul Skeen's go into the Hall of Fame as a Pittsburgh Pirate? Nope. Not a chance. He will go in as a Yankee, a Met, a Dodger, maybe an Angel, maybe Boston if they decide to open up the purse string someday. Unless we make major changes within this sport. And I think that's it. And for the general fan, why this should be alarming, what is going to get me to want to go to Cooperstown? To go on a lark? Because it makes all the sense in the world. Jose gets into the Hall of Fame. Let's go see Jose go to the Hall of Fame. All right, we'll go see his induction. We'll visit Cooperstown. It's the whole thing. Then what? So we have one more trip, and then no fans unless they are hardcore baseball fans and just want to enjoy baseball, which there would be some, obviously, but any majority, no. Like everywhere else in the NFL, like I worried about the Browns. Okay, Joe gets in the Hall of Fame. Doesn't really count as much here. Him getting in the Hall of Fame counts, but the argument doesn't count as much here because we're so close to the Hall of Fame. If we were located in the middle of Texas and we had the same history, Joe gets in the Hall of Fame. All right, I'll fly to go see Joe in the Hall of Fame, but then the next chance I'm going to get is Miles.
Right.
And that's about it. But for them, you still have an argument. Okay, you can get yourself a wide receiver. You can get yourself a quarterback. You have that chance to build something. Even though it looks bleak now, you can still do it. For us, we can draft great players. We're just going to end up having to trade them off to the Yankees, to the Mets, to the Dodgers, and so on.
And I'll tell you, Ken.
And really not even so on. It's like those three organizations.
This last year, with how they sped up baseball, what they did with the shift, it got me reinvigorated. I got to be honest. I watched so much more baseball this year. Watched so much more of the playoffs. I watched playoff games not involving our team. You know, the last time I've done something like that, yeah, I have to go way back to when I was only watching to hate the Yankees and root against the Yankees. That's how long it was. So I have a renewed love of baseball again. But then I have to remember, oh, yeah, that's only during the regular season if my team is doing well. It's not going to be the offseason getting excited about the hot stove or the winter meetings.
Yep.
Oh, what kind of rumors are going to be involved with the guard? Like, none.
It turns the fans,
none. Zero.
It turns the fans on each other. Like, Daryl and I got into a big argument yesterday. And I guarantee there were hardcore baseball fans, and rightfully so, pissed at me for having the argument with Daryl about baseball. But this is what it does. It turns the fans on each other. Because there's plenty of people out there, and God bless them, who are big time. They're Guardians first fans. Guardians first. What does Major League Baseball, and because of the Major League Baseball system and the Guardians, do every offseason? What do they do to really get you excited? There's really not much they can do. So I can't sit there and blame them because I'm going, what, am I going to overpay for some of these stiffs that nobody's ever heard of? Nope. I wouldn't want the Dolans. I wouldn't want Antonetti and Chernoff to do that. So you go into every offseason. Think about this. You've won the AL Central again. You were in the AL. You were in the AL Championship Series for the first time in 8 years, but in our generation again. You're a competitive baseball team, one of the best in Major League Baseball. We brought back Shane Bieber. We let go of Miles Straw. We're excited about Travis Bezzana. If that were the Browns, it would be an 8-month party leading up to the season.
Yep.
It's the Cavs. It's a how long's the offseason? 4-month party leading up to the next season. It's baseball. Well, we have these winter meetings. Hey, there's players out there. Yeah, Juan Soto, not a chance. Okay, great.
Nope.
Great. Who are the other players? Ah, you've never heard of them. Awesome. Great system you have here. And the players you have heard of, you can't get a chance at them. And the players that you're bringing up, you're not going to finish they're not going to finish their careers with you watching them.
Is it weird,
Travis Bezzana will not finish his career in Cleveland. We've all just learned to accept it.
Is it weird that I'm actually rooting for the Dodgers and I guess the Yankees, but I'm almost rooting for it to get even more ridiculous. Make the numbers look even more absurd.
It's a Stockholm
because
syndrome.
It's never going to change if it goes the other way. So the only chance you have to get this to change is for it to be so ridiculous and then for so many people to be out on baseball for them to actually feel like they need to make a change.
See, what you'll do if you love baseball that much is the sick part about it is that you will turn people either turn off from baseball, which they will, or if they really love it that much, you'll just end up having to be a Mac fan like a lot of the people like me are. Yeah, I went to Akron, but I'm a big Ohio State fan. Yeah, I went to Kent State. Huge Buckeye fan. Really? Well, yeah, they're the ones that are competitive at college football. Okay, I'm from Cleveland. I love the Guardians, but you know what? I love the Yankees, Mitch. Okay, why? Because they're the ones that really have a chance to do it every year. I mean, that's what they are cultivating. That sounds sick to a fan. That's what they're cultivating in Major League Baseball. That type of mentality. So my generation, no, I don't like the Yankees. I never will like the Yankees. I was sickened in Game 5. It's never going to happen. My son's generation, I'll do everything I can to fight it with my son. I can't fight it for his little buddies. I want my son to like baseball. I want my son to love the three teams here. I want all three of my sons to like the three teams here. But I can only fight it for so long, and I can't say the same thing for Mason Lima. What if Mason Lima decides, yeah, I'm a big Guardians fan, but you know what? If I really want a chance to enjoy a championship, the Dodgers are where it's at. Gotta like the Dodgers. No one wants to do that. So, guys, I hate to say it like this. It's such a downtrodden, depressing-ass thing to say. Enjoy Tom Hamilton this year. I hope you go and use it as a trip to take your family to Cooperstown.
He's a legendary voice.
He's one of the best friends. The radio play-by-play guys in this city, we've been blessed with great, great radio play-by-play guys. He is one of the best friends you could ever have. If you want to make it a trip, go see Hammy. Would support it 100%. Go ahead and do it. And the next one we get is Jose, and then that's it. We're closing up shop. Because if you want to see a guy go in, unless you feel that strongly with CC Sabathia, but notice that he's going to say a lot of things about the Yankees. There's going to be a lot of Yankees there, and he's going to go in as a Yankee. Which sucks. Terry Francona. Owen brought up Terry Francona for a second. And then we went, well, no. Someone else brought him up, and then you corrected
Terry Francona. Yeah. I said he's going in as a Red Sox.
I think it was him. And then Owen said, well, he won two World Series with the Red Sox. Yeah, he won two World Series with the Red Sox. He's going in as Boston Red Sox.
Has more wins with the Guardians, more years with the Guardians, but the World Series.
Yeah, but I think if you go to average baseball, not even average baseball guy, average guy.
Yeah.
Who was he the manager for? He was the Red Sox manager. He was not the Guardians manager.
Does he have to bring multiple hats?
You can only go in with one hat on.
Is that a rule?
Yeah.
Is that an enforceable rule?
Yeah, they tried to do that with Wade Boggs.
You do have the option to go with a blank cap, I believe.
Hmm. Maybe promoting his steakhouse?
He has a steakhouse?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, once we were talking about Terry Francona's steakhouse, it's time to move on. You really put Urban ahead of Jim Tressel.
Well, yeah, we were talking about what... kind of off the air, what Ryan Day has to do to be held in the same esteem as Urban and Tressel. And I even said in that order, Urban and Tressel, because Tressel is way more revered for me, being the Buckeye coach when I was on campus, winning the most improbable national title ever. I guess now we have to ask if this is more improbable that they got it done in the way they did after they lost to Michigan. But that's another topic for another day.
Okay.
I always do kind of when I talk about the coaches, like Urban, because he has the national championships at Florida. And I know you could say, well, yeah, but Jim Tressel has the national championships at Youngstown State. So I get that. I think most people would feel around the country that Urban has been the better college football coach than Jim Tressel. And I love Jim Tressel. I love him way more than I love Urban. But did you think I was off base on
that?
Well,
he's won. I mean, at Ohio State, I don't know if he was the better coach. I mean, you did have three national championships. Now, I know you got beat by Urban Meyer. I mean, overall, Urban Meyer would be seen as the better one. He's got three national championships. Jim Tressel only has one. But if we're talking about Ohio State, which, by the way, this is the ultimate slippery wizard where Lima refuses to seriously say he's sorry to Ryan Day and then turns around and wonders why Ryan Day isn't getting the respect he quote-unquote deserves later on in the
show.
That's the slippery of the wizards. That is a lesson for everybody.
He's a top three coach at Ohio State over the last 25 years. I think that's fair to say.
Well, there's been three coaches, unless you count Luke Fickell. Okay, well, that's pretty unfair to do. So over the last 25 years, there's been three guys.
Give Luke Fickell this kind of football team right now, my God.
Do you believe Urban would have done the same thing had he inherited the same team Jim Tressel did?
Yeah, so here's where it's really
interesting. I'm asking a question. I'm not making a point yet.
No, it's a totally fair question, and it's why Ryan Day won't be given the credit until he almost has to now go on a run, which he could. The monkey's off his back now.
Uh-huh.
Like, the pressure is kind of off to some extent. There'll still be pressure for the Michigan game and everything, but the monkey's off his back. What does he have to do? Because he inherited a powerhouse. He inherited a machine, inherited some assistant coaches. Larry Johnson was there, you know, at the time, the strength and conditioning. Like, that thing was humming. The recruiting, that thing was humming. And, you know, Ryan Day was also an assistant coach. He was part of it, too. But it's hard for him to get the credit. Like, Tressel built it up. Tressel restored Ohio State to glory.
Yes.
And took over the rivalry.
Yes, he did.
And now, of course, that doesn't really matter as much. But you had to beat Michigan. Tressel had to beat them. And by the way, Tressel beat some really good Michigan teams.
Yes, he did. He beat better Michigan teams than what Urban had to beat.
Yes.
It's hard for me to say Jim Tressel's not, or it's hard for me to say Urban Meyer is better than Tressel, because my eyes are still scarlet and gray at that time when it comes to Jim Tressel. I have a soft spot in my heart for Jim Tressel. He's the last guy that I loved Ohio State football with. So it's hard for me to do that. Urban Meyer turned Ohio State into a Death Star program. He did things with Ohio State that were previously I didn't think were possible. He's the one to me who, for a lot of people, who should be credited with, in a way, saving football in the North from the SEC, being a guy that could go and get players from SEC country to play in what a scene. I know it's not the same type of climate as ours. They're downright balmy down there compared to Cleveland, Ohio. But it's still seen as a frigid climate and a cold climate.
There is snow right now in southern Florida, Kenny.
Well, according to the jokes, they're trying to be the Big Ten. Yeah. So that's, you know, they're trying to make it cold. He could be credited with a lot of that. But if I do it the same thing and I say Jim Tressel served Urban Meyer, Urban Meyer served Ryan Day, well, aren't I doing the same thing and I'm never going to give the credit to Ryan Day? Because at some point, if Ryan Day wins a bunch of national championships or wins two national championships,
yeah,
don't I have to make an argument with,
yes,
him and Jim Tressel?
Then you do.
Do I not,
yes,
have to make an argument with him and Urban Meyer, who only won one national championship,
yes,
with the Ohio State Buckeyes?
Yes, I do
and
think.
And at 45 years old, he has more of a chance to add to that legacy. I mean, Urban Meyer was in his 50s. Jim Tressel was older.
Kenny, I think the jury.
Ryan Day's relatively a younger man.
I think the
45, just a kid.
I think the jury on Urban Meyer, it's kind of been like, I got to say, and I've said this, kind of disappointing that he only won one national championship with those recruiting classes. Was it not?
Because of the stupid losses that they had that took them out of the chances to do it.
Now,
I mean, the Michigan State loss.
Now, if Urban had a playoff like this, I think he is the exact coach that could have went on a run kind of like what we just saw.
Well, up until this last Michigan loss with Ryan Day, the Michigan State loss with Urban Meyer, mm-hmm, was the most perplexing, frustrating, dumbest loss that I've ever seen a team have. I mean, you wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Great teams lose not to this Purdue, but that Purdue. Great teams lose to that Iowa. It happens. You wake up on the wrong side of the bed on any given Saturday, and something stupid happens. Nick Saban's teams even had a couple of dumb losses here and there. Ryan Day's never had that. Except, I tell you what, if Michigan was by any other name, it'd be known as a dumb loss. You were a 20-point favorite. That loss was the worst. But Urban Meyer losing that Big Ten championship game and eating the sad pizza on the golf cart,
yeah,
after you had one of the worst game plans, I think anybody said, where everybody in the country who was wearing scarlet and gray, and even guys like me were sitting there going, why are you doing this? This makes zero sense. This entire game plan makes zero sense and refused to deviate away from it. It's almost like he went out and lost the game on purpose. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Think about what is being used against Ryan Day in any of these discussions. It's the 1-4 against Michigan when your predecessors went 7-0 and 9-1.
Yes.
Okay, it's the fact that you inherited this machine. But
yes,
you're right. If he wins next year, and again, they've got two of the best players in America going into next season, Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs. We know the NIL money is going to be right up there with everybody else. They've got a quarterback that came over from Alabama that is going to get the chance now. He was well-heralded from Nick Saban, one of the best to ever do it. So obviously, he's going to have every opportunity here to eclipse Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel. And he's young enough to do it, and now the monkey's off his back. So go win another. Ryan Day, you want that respect? Go win it next year.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys. This one comes to us from the Draymond Green Show, which played a clip of earlier today because Darius Garland was on yesterday's episode, which dropped. And Darius mentioned some of the press clippings that came after the Cavs blowout loss to Oklahoma City last week, and Draymond Green telling him to take it in stride.
And then they started talking about trade talks immediately right after the loss. I'm like, he didn't even get on the plane yet. Now I'll talk about 34-6. Best record in the league. That's the world we live in, though. So get used to it. Enjoy it. Because as y'all sit at the top, which I don't see that changing, that's just what comes with it. Take it on the chin. Keep it pushing.
Some growing up being done. Thoughts, Tone?
Well, the first thing, do any Cavs fans get upset that the Cavs are in the good graces of Draymond Green? No. He's public enemy number one. Is he not an enemy anymore for Cavs fans? Do not care?
He's an enemy if he played to a certain level anymore, like if we had to go through him in the playoffs. Like Draymond,
which
like
we don't.
If Draymond Green were to get traded to the Cavs, he just wouldn't play here. He'd just end his career. But I don't think, do we see him like that anymore?
Yeah, I was genuinely asking because he was one of the most hated. I think he was one of the biggest Cleveland sports villains, right? I mean, four straight years, the Christmas Day games, the theatrics, the suspension, or the suspension and the big. I mean, that had worked out, you know, definitely to our benefit. So Darius is having a dream season. He followed up his season from hell last year with a dream season. I always you can go back and look at the tweets. I was excited when they drafted Darius Garland.
Yes, you were.
And then I ran kind of hot and cold, right? And last year was bottomed out.
Last year was ice cold.
And I was seriously wondering if this guy could ever be, you know, part of a core come playoff time.
You and a lot of other people.
And, wait, look, he still has to play well in the playoffs. But in the regular season, he has been awesome. He's been everything you would want. He's getting the most out of who he could possibly be, to the point where he's chasing 50, 40, 90. For a guard to shoot as well as he's shooting.
Explain 50, 40, 90.
50 from the field, 40% from three, and 90 from the free throw line. Those are the best shooters in the last 20 years. There's only a few guys. I mean, I think Kyrie's had a 50, 40, 90. Aren't a lot of guys that have had seasons like that. He has a chance. And that shows you where he is.
I think there's zero coincidence. Or zero. I'm struggling to find the word. Struggle to find my shoelaces. I'm struggling to find the word for it. I don't think it's any coincidence that the team is 36-6 and he has played up to a level. Not just playing. We knew he was capable of playing better. I think of being relied on and being able to fill the void that in the month of January has kind of been lacking from Donovan Mitchell for whatever reason. Maybe he's getting used to changing in a role so that they can count on Darius Garland more during the postseason. I think that that's going on. I hope he's not nursing anything. I worry a little bit about that because, you know, they can only tell us what they want to tell us, and he can only tell us what he wants to tell us. I know that Donovan has struggled. His numbers are down in the month of January. His percentages are down in the month of January.
Until the last few games where he has been back to Donovan.
But I still need to have Darius Garland learning that way to get better and to be a leader in the postseason. I need him because it's not going to work. They'll get beat up by one of these teams. God forbid it be New York. It's not going to work against Boston if Darius Garland goes back to being old Darius Garland and goes back to being a kid. Like there's a lot of growing up that has to happen. And I've seen Evan take strides. I've seen Darius take strides. Jarrett was already an adult in the room. I have no worry about Jarrett or Donovan Mitchell. But those other two guys, they had to do some growing up, and they've been doing some growing up so far this year. It's obviously made for some enjoyable basketball and a lot of hope for the future.
I've seen some people get annoyed that I've been putting the caveat of let's see what happens in the playoffs. But I mean, we got.
I think everybody is to some level.
But we have to understand. I mean, this is the level we wanted the Cavs when they traded for Donovan Mitchell. The talk wasn't going to be about regular seasons. Now, they've been so spectacular that you can't ignore. You can't ignore this. And, I mean, again, they're 6.5 games ahead of the Celtics. You saw the Knicks struggle to beat Brooklyn last night. These teams that we were worried about, I mean, the Cavs have so far passed them in the regular season. We all know, like, the Celtics at this point only care about the playoffs. They only care about the playoffs. Now, they have some flaws. They absolutely, Derek White has not been the same guy this year. Jaylen Brown maybe has taken a step back, but we know those guys can play to a certain level in the playoffs. We don't know that about Darius. We haven't seen it. He has looked overmatched. He has looked physically like an inferior player in the playoffs. But he can end that conversation.
By the way, Rockets tonight, not your older brother's Rockets. They're better.
They are.
They're better. So a team that you have to take somewhat seriously here. Because they're 28-14, they're a good basketball team.
Yeah, I'm excited about this.
The online stuff is starting to pick up about the Will Howard segment that we did.
We just had somebody on social media, as always, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Kip to my Lou says, love you, Ken and Lima, but that kid, Will Howard, not an NFL quarterback, point blank. I've seen 40 of these dudes. He's just another name on the back of a jersey. I think I would have agreed with you.
Until you heard Todd McShay, I bet.
Well, after the Michigan game, I would have said, he kind of just did a McCord. I mean, he had the same game Kyle McCord did. He's been different. He has been different, and scouts are taking notice. He has showed the leadership stuff. The intangibles are all there. I mean, that guy has a fight in him and a guy to rally around. And then you look at his size, check, 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 all those things. Arm strength, yeah. That's where, if he had a better arm, I think we'd be talking about a guy at the top of the draft.
You know who else had meh arm strength?
Who's that, Kenny?
We argued about him all the time.
Who's that?
Deshaun Watson.
Eh? He was a top five quarterback at one point. Not anymore. Not anymore, folks.
I remember I held on. I go 59 miles an hour.
I know.
I was saying anything I could. Y'all, guess who was right in the end?
Was his arm strength?
Me.
What? Did you ever look at him in Cleveland and go, the arm is what's holding him back? To me, it was
that
so
was
many
one
other
of the
things.
Last things holding him back, buddy. I
didn't even notice he had arms half the time. Right.
We should have got. Would he have done better with no arms?
No arms.
216-474-092.
His decision making would have been better.
Strap the football to a collar like he's a St. Bernard and let him go.
Did he have a Velcro? Every play, he's got to tether it.
It's true. Had he not had arms, his decision making would have been better on the field.
You got to simplify the game.
You can't pitch it back to Elijah Moore if you don't have arms. Simple, folks. It's simple. Have a great day. Go Cavs.